Well, good morning. How are you? Good. It's kind of weird to have Dave and the band up there. I saw a lot of you looking around like, where is he? Where is he? So today is Memorial Day weekend. So we just want to do something different today. We want to honor, to recognize those who have fallen. We do recognize those who are currently serving as well. And we recognize those who have served before. And so that's why on stage with me today are several people. This is my co-host. This is Lily. You want to say hi? I've got to turn it on first. So.
Hi.
It does work. Try it again.
Hi.
Okay. And then to her right is Steve Krause, and then on the end is Doug Fulford. So we're just going to spend about 10, 12 minutes just talking a little bit about the military, and some of that's going to tie in with our message today. And Lily has questions from kids. So there are a lot of kids in the service today. And so we asked kids, if you could ask a question of someone who served in the military, what would you want to know? So before we get to some kid questions, how about Steve and Doug, which branch of the military did you serve in? Go ahead, Steve.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Steve Krause. Like Bobby said, I had the privilege of serving in the United States Army for about 10 years. I just got out of the Army last fall.
Good morning. My name's Doug Fulford. I served in the Army for 3 years, from 61 to 64. I'm an old timer.
So we're going to start with some easy questions. So Lily, you have a question for Mr. Steve there. Could you start with that one?
Do you like going camping? This is from Riley, age 5.
Thanks, Lily. Yes, I do like camping.
Okay.
That was probably part of the adventure side of maybe what drew me to the Army a bit, because we definitely do a lot of camping, if you want to call it that.
And Doug, we have an opening question for you, too. So,
what would you ask for from Santa?
For Christmas.
For Christmas. This is from Evelyn, age 5.
What would I ask for Santa for Christmas? I was thinking about this question: 2 front teeth, or be home for Christmas. I guess that's a wish for every military person.
That's really good. All right, so Steve, I have a question for you. As a Christian, what role did your faith play when you were in the military?
It definitely played a big role. You meet a lot of different people in the military, different states, different cultures, just, in America. I served overseas, too. So definitely having a Christian foundation just changes your view on how you, deal with people, how you treat people, how you see and communicate, and, just changes your interactions with people. Both from kind of a leadership perspective with, the people in my unit, but then also how, what your unit is doing as you carry out your missions overseas. It definitely has a central foundation on how that is.
Okay. Doug, you and I were talking, and you had a different faith journey. To quote you, you said you were a wild man in the military, but then things changed. Why don't you tell us about that?
All right, the wild side. When I went into service, I did not know the Lord. And I lived by the way of the standards that we have today. Just get out there, be wild, do your thing, have fun, live life to the ultimate. Towards the end of my time there, I know people were praying for me, and I could feel it. And I finally made that decision to trust Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior right before I got out. And last month, before I got out, I found Satan really trying to attack in different things, because I had to give up so much. But he was good. I got out. And the month I was getting out, even the Mormons tried to get me involved with the Mormons. So it was interesting, but the Lord was so good. Thank you.
Thanks, Doug. Lily, why don't you ask Mr. Steve your next question there?
you're so brave? This is from Lily, age 8.
I would say, and echo pretty much everybody in the military, is we don't really consider ourselves brave. You just go through so much training to get ready and prepared to do what you need to do, and then when it's, you know, time to do it, you just fall back on each other and your training, and you just kind of execute, you know, in the moment based upon it. So that's definitely not something we're thinking of consciously. Perhaps it's viewed, you know, that way to some people, but, you know, we all just have a very selfless calling, and it's definitely not anything about an individual, because you can't do anything as an individual in the military. It's all a team, and it's always a selfless endeavor to do something, accomplish your mission, which is, you know, something greater than yourself.
Did you ever get homesick? This is from Josh, age 12.
So that's for you, Doug. Did you ever get homesick?
Well, did you ever go camping away for a week? You know how you felt the first week, first day? That's what it was. The first week, you feel homesick. I remember in basic training, I could hear guys crying. One fella fell out of bed. And so, because you're sleeping in this little tiny cot, you do get homesick, but it's short-lived because they have you so busy in the service, especially in basic training.
Yeah. And then, Lily, why don't you ask both of them the last question there?
Did you ever get hurt in the military? This is from Jordan, age 7.
I was very fortunate in that I did not sustain any kind of serious injuries while in the military, so very grateful to God for that.
I got hurt and put a Band-Aid on it.
Thanks, Doug. I didn't pre-screen any of these before we... So let's shift gears a little bit. And as we talk about, you were both blessed to not get hurt. But in the military, people get hurt and ultimately give their lives, right, and sacrifice. And so, Steve, what is it like to be in the military knowing that someone you know lost their life? What is it like when you hear people losing their life for their country?
It's definitely an emotional, thing. It's something that we know is a possibility. You know, we sign up for that knowing that that's, you know, a possibility. So when you hear about that, you know, it hurts, especially when they're part of your unit. 10 classmates of mine died, since we graduated about 11 years ago. Just before I took command of my company, a soldier died in training, in a parachuting accident. Something you don't really think of, but things happen, on both the, home front, but then also overseas. So it's just a reality that it's a risky business, both in training and overseas deployed. So it doesn't make it any easier, that's for sure, but it's something that we know, is a reality and a risk, and we try to do everything to mitigate it, but ultimately things can happen, so it's tough.
Doug, how about you? When you know that men and women give their lives in service, how do you react to that?
When I was in, there was no conflict. We had the Cuban crisis, we had the Berlin Wall, and then Kennedy being assassinated, but we were never called to war. Then when I was getting out, Vietnam was starting to escalate slowly, but I never experienced anything of losing a friend. But we're all trained to cover each other's back and look out after the guy in front of you.
So I have one last question for both of you, and Dave had mentioned this word sacrifice, and as we go into the Bible today, we're going to look at this theme. So when I say the word sacrifice, what comes to mind? Doug, why don't you go first?
Sacrifice, what does it mean to me? Giving your all, just like Christ did for us.
Still, what about you, Steve?
Yeah, and to me, I mean, it's just, others, not self, with whatever that is. If it's in the military context, you're looking out for, the soldiers, in your unit, the people next to you. You know, the mission, again, like I said before, is not for you. It's for something else. So it's totally selflessly focused, you know, for the unit, for the people you're protecting, for our country. So it's others, not self.
That's really key when you say others, not self, because that's kind of what Jesus did, right? And we're going to look at that. So I want to say thank you for being on stage. You were all wonderful. You did a great job too, Lily, right? Before they leave, can we just give a round of applause to all of our military service in honor of those who sacrificed their lives? So thank you very much. No, it really is amazing what the men and women do who serve. And, you know, some of us have served and some of us have never served. But the idea of sacrifice still resonates with us. And when you hear of those in the military who sacrifice their lives, there's something that kind of wells up inside of me, right? And even when you watch movies, there's those moments of sacrifice, and those are the moments that really get you, right? And Jesus has done something very similar, right? He gave everything. He gave everything, just like the men and women. As we remember them on this Memorial weekend and tomorrow for Memorial Day. And I want to share with you just one verse today, okay? Just one verse. But I need to give you some context to that verse. We often read a verse and we go, oh, that's a great verse. And there's a lot of other great things around it. So if you have a Bible, John 15. And as you're turning to John 15, kids, if you grab this card as you walked in, and if you grab some stickers, can you hold up your cards if you have a card? Good. So we're gonna use these cards, and this will help you follow along, okay? So you should have four very specific stickers and then six other ones, all right? So as I go along in this message, you are welcome to put the sticker into the corresponding box. So this first box says Jesus. So in John 15, Jesus is talking to his disciples. So there's a cross sticker that reminds me of Jesus. So if you want to put that cross sticker in that first box, go ahead and do that right now. But in John 15, Jesus is telling his disciples not a story, but he's telling them reality. See, he just is finishing up the Last Supper. He knows that he's going to be betrayed by Judas, and Judas leaves the Last Supper. And as Judas leaves in John 15, now Jesus says this. He goes, now let me talk to you about something. And he gathers the other 11 disciples, and he says, now I really want to tell you some things. These are some important things because these are the last things that I'm going to tell you. And I'm going to go away. That's what he tells them. He says, I'm going away. I'm about to do something where I need to give my life and I'm about to go away. But you're going to stay here. You're going to stay here. And as you stay here, I need you to do something. Okay, so this is the context. And in John 15, Jesus wants them to bear fruit. So kids, if you have a fruit sticker, you can put that one on right now too, in the box that says bear fruit. So Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's going to be leaving and he needs them to bear fruit. This is the context for John 15. You have to bear fruit, guys. I am leaving. I am going away. I have done this work that I want you to keep going on. I want you to keep doing this work. I want you to bear fruit. And bearing fruit to me, I get this idea of like making your life count, right? You ever wake up and be like, oh, I want today to count. High school kids, as you go off to college, I want my life to count. I want to do something, right? I just got a really good email from a friend. So I had a birthday last week. I turned 40. Yeah. I know. Thank you. Did you just say that's so old? Is that what you said?
Again,
60. Oh, all right. You don't look that. You look great, Paul. You look great. All right, maybe we shouldn't have the kids in the service anymore. Bad idea. Bad idea. So I turned 40, and I just got an email from a brother in Christ, and he said, you know what, these are the prime years of your life. And before I got to that point, I was kind of thinking, like, 40's kind of this way, you know? It's kind of this way, right? But I got that email, and it really encouraged me this morning, because it reminded me that my life counts, right? It really doesn't matter how old you are, because your life counts, right? You have this moment today. And even if today was the last day, today counts, doesn't it? In fact, to Jesus, every moment counts. He didn't pick disciples based on their age. He didn't tell people to go into all the world and make disciples, but only if you're between the ages of 20 and 40, did he? He said to everyone, to everywhere, to go and make disciples. Why? Because to Jesus, every moment of your life counts. And that's why Jesus in John 15 says, I need you to bear fruit. I need for you today to make it count. I need for you today to go home after this service, and I need you to bear fruit. Because Jesus isn't physically here, but you know who he's left behind? He's left us here, right? And so in John 15, Jesus then shares some words. And I'm going to start in verse 9, okay? John 15, 9. As the Father, he's talking about God, God the Father, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love, verse 10, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. Verse 11, I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. So let me just put this together for a little bit here. Your life counts today. Jesus believes that your life, your moments, your words, your actions, your thoughts, they all count today. And they'll count tomorrow too. And if we live our lives with that mindset, if we live our lives for God, then what he says is that we remain in his love. Now, that does not mean that God only loves you if you do what he says. That is not what this verse means. But this means that our connection with God through Christ remains incredibly strong as we obey Christ. And as we obey Christ, then we are in his love. We are living our lives as Jesus has lived his life. And that's why he says this in verse 12. My command is this. Your life counts today. I am leaving. Jesus is going to die on the cross. He's going to spend his time in heaven until God sends him back to earth. And he says, make your life count. And he gives them one command in John 15. One command. Verse 12, love each other as I have loved you. Kids, there's a sticker there that's in the shape of a heart. You can put that heart sticker now on your paper, right in the box where it says love. Today you have a chance to make it count. Jesus has such a concern for how you and I live our lives. And he gives us one command in John 15. And he says, do this. Please love each other. Please love each other. But what's crazy is in verse 12, he says, as I have loved you. As I have loved you. Now look, they don't know this yet. Because Jesus hasn't died on the cross, right? He's still alive. He has washed their feet. So they're probably thinking, okay, I got to start washing feet. It's not my thing. Not my thing. But I'll do it, right? Okay, I know Jesus was preaching about God, so I gotta preach about God. I know sometimes that people made fun of Jesus, so people are probably going to make fun of me. Okay, and the disciples are listening to this, right? And they're hearing what Jesus is saying, and they're thinking about all that Jesus has done. And Jesus says, love each other as I have loved you. And they might be thinking, I got this. I got this, right? And then Jesus says in verse 13, and this is the verse I really want you to remember today. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And then when Jesus dies on the cross, this verse, these words of Jesus, mean something so different, don't they? They're just having supper with Jesus right now. Judas has left. And they're all thinking to themselves, I'm going to follow Jesus forever. I will never abandon Jesus. Jesus wants me to make my life count. My life is going to count. I'm going to live for him. I'm going to preach the word. I'm going to face ridicule. I will do that. I will wash feet. I will do this. And then after Jesus dies on the cross, they might be thinking back to this dinner. When Jesus says, you need to love each other as I have loved you. And greater love has no one than this, that one laid down his life for a friend. How fitting. How fitting on Memorial Weekend. It's obvious that we can't thank the people who have given their life. They're not here. But we remember them. Who knows? Some of you might be here because they gave their life for you. We just don't know how things play out. We don't know all the intricacies and the designs of God and how everything plays out. We just don't know. But what we know is that people have given their lives in service to the country. And in the same way, Jesus says, greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. Remember, Jesus is saying, I need you disciples to make it count today. I need you to bear fruit because that's really important in the kingdom of God, to bear fruit. And to bear fruit, you have to love each other just as I loved you, just as I gave my life for you. And now the challenge of making it count becomes incredibly difficult. I like a lot of you in here. Okay, I like all of you. I didn't want anyone to be thinking, oh my gosh, does he not like me? Okay, no, I like all of you. To give my life, though, Can you all just be real with me for a second? Don't put me on an island here. Like, Bobby doesn't want to do that. Come on, let's be real. How hard is it to give your life for someone else? My wife, absolutely. My kids, no question. My extended family, absolutely. And then you kind of get out of that circle. And you start going, my good friends? Probably. My neighbors? If the situation called for it. You know, and then you kind of get out farther and you start going, well, they should be giving their life for me, right? Like, after you get past that, it's all about me. But what did Steve say? Sacrifices. Others, not self, right? Jesus lived his life this way. He knew from the beginning that he would give his life, and not only that he would give his life on a cross, but he knew that some of us wouldn't care. It's very easy to give your life for someone that you love and who loves you back and is a good person, but what about the person who doesn't deserve it? And yet Jesus still gave his life for that person. And in John 15, Jesus isn't even telling the disciples to think beyond anyone but friends. He's like, can we just stay in the friend circle for a second? That's like the beginning. That's like the start. Lay down your life for each other. Kids, if you have that last sticker, the box that says friends. Now, I tried to find stickers of people, and it was so hard, so I have animals, okay? Animals are your friends today. So put that animal sticker in the friend box and just pretend that it's a person, okay? It's a reminder, kids, as you look at your paper, it's a reminder that Jesus told us some words, and the words that Jesus told us were to bear fruit, to make today count, right? But you make today count by love. Today counts when you lay down your life for someone. Let's just start with our friends today. And if you're ambitious, you can just go right past friends. Go to strangers. I don't care. And if you're really ambitious, if you really want to live like Jesus, go past friends and strangers to people who hate you. Because isn't that how Jesus lived his life? So there's nothing greater that we can do today to make today count than to lay down our lives for everyone. So would you do that today? Now, before you walk out scared, let me tell you something about that verse. That verse in the Greek language is a hypothetical. Okay? Jesus is saying this: if you must, if the situation calls for it, then do it. Then do it. Are you willing to go to that extreme? Because if it calls for it, then do it. But today might not look like you laying down your life for somebody. Today might look like just as you're walking out, just hold the door for somebody. That could be loving someone. It might look like you sacrificing some finances for someone else. It might look like just sending someone a card in the mail. I don't know what love is going to look like for you, because that's your job. That's between you and God. Okay? God's going to tell me to love maybe in a different way than he's telling you to love today. And maybe one day he's calling some of us in this room to actually give up our lives. I don't know. But if that moment comes, are you ready? Because in the eyes of the kingdom, you know what really counts? Is that in love, we'd be willing to give up our lives for somebody. Would you pray with me as we close out this message time? Father, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth to offer his life, to sacrifice. And he did in perfect obedience to you, Father. And it was the ultimate display of love. And so, God, this morning, we are recipients of that love, and we say thank you. But Lord, you've also given us a challenge. And so, Father, as we leave this morning, help us to live like Jesus. Help us, God, to love today and make it count. Father, tomorrow, help us to love so that tomorrow counts. God, you've given us quite a challenge. And Lord, I also admit that we are totally incapable of living up to that. So we're going to need your help, and we're going to need your power, and we're going to need your Holy Spirit. And so, Father God, would you just fill us this week so that we can go out and that we can love others. And in Jesus' name, we all say, amen.